Let's imagine that, you know, it's first day again, and you're introducing yourself to me. What would you say?
Well, to put it in just probably one word, I would say that I'm an explorer because I'm 30 years old now, and I've tried to fit in all these 30 years, everything possible, everything I could, because I've already been a lawyer, a translator, an English teacher, and I spent 3 years in China and now in Poland. And actually, originally, I come from Ukraine, as you know. We started a small coffee shop, so a little bit of business as well. So, yeah, that's one of the things that I loved about China. So it's nature, basically. And because I come from a region where, in order to travel, first you have to find a beautiful place on, let's say, TripAdvisor. You have to plan everything. You know, it's a long process. But China is full of really fascinating and beautiful places.
It's another episode of Meet the Innovators. My name is Alexander Jess, and I'm here with Hanna Yakovlieva. Hanna, hello and welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you.
Could you tell us what do you do at ITM?
So officially, my position is called talent sourcing specialist. So most of the time, I do the search. I look for candidates for various projects. But I have also tried to have interviews. You know, like to also act in the role of a recruiter. So yeah, it's pretty diverse, and I'm really enjoying.
Right. What was your last recruitment process, if you could tell us, if it's not a secret?
Well, it's kind of constantly ongoing. Like, but probably the last most successful candidate that I consider for myself is the DevOps, for the DevOps position. And it was the first DevOps candidate I found. So, yeah, that's probably the latest achievement for me. Maybe it's not that important, but for me, it is.
How did it feel like?
I'm proud that I finally managed to find DevOps, because I consider it to be probably one of the most difficult positions. I made it finally.
Yeah, we talked with Josip, and the way he spoke about his role, it has to be very hard to find a DevOps engineer because of the just the range of topics, just the range of knowledge you have to have, right?
You have to be like a jack of all trades, really.
Yeah, true. So Hanya, let's imagine that, you know, it's first day again, and you're introducing yourself to me. What would you say?
Well, to put it in just probably one word, I would say that I'm an explorer because I'm 30 years old now, and I've tried to fit in all these 30 years, everything possible, everything I could, because I've already been a lawyer, a translator, an English teacher, and I spent 3 years in China and now in Poland. And actually, originally, I come from Ukraine, as you know, and also a bit of entrepreneurship, as me and my husband, we tried to, a year ago it was, we started a small coffee shop, so a little bit of business as well. So yeah, that's in short about me, probably.
So, you are a jack of all trades.
Well, trying to be, at least.
Okay. Going back to China, how was traveling for China on a motorcycle?
It was beautiful. It was huge and probably one of the best experiences in my life. And that's one of the things that I loved about China. So it's nature, basically. And because I come from a region where, in order to travel, first you have to find a beautiful place on, let's say, TripAdvisor. You have to plan everything. You know, it's a long process. But China is full of really fascinating and beautiful places. And no matter where you go, you will always, you can be sure that you will always find something really interesting. And for instance, when I was working in the south of China, especially south of China, is just stunning. And so my husband, he already come at the time, and we bought a motorcycle. And literally every day after work, we went in a really random direction. We didn't choose anything. We didn't plan, you know. And literally every time we managed to find some like waterfall or a mountain or a hill or even abandoned villages, you know, with all that ancient Chinese architecture. And I loved it really. I enjoyed every moment of this. Yeah, apart from, well, I spent also one year in the center of China. In that part, maybe it's not that vibrant because there is more infrastructure, you know, all those plants and factories. And so in the south of China, it's just fantastic, really. So I highly recommend.
But it's also hot, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I was dying. Especially that I'm more fond of, you know, cold weather and rainy. But there, it's like a jungle, literally a jungle. And yeah, it was so humid, you know, and sunny every day. And I was dying.
Have you been to Scotland?
No, not unfortunately, no.
Oh, then, I mean, you would like it there, from what you're saying.
Yeah. I've heard, yeah, that it's raining pretty often. So, yeah, that's in my plan. Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. I mean, you're only 30, right? So you have so much time that you can you know, travel around the globe 20 times over. So maybe, you know, next destination is Scotland.
I'm not planning to stop, so...
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good then. But it's interesting because, I mean, talking about Scotland, talking about Great Britain, you listen to BBC a lot. And it's quite fascinating. And I found it quite fascinating that even though you listen so much to the BBC, your accent is actually a little bit American, which is totally not what you intended.
Yeah, that's actually a surprise for me as well. I started learning English even while I was in kindergarten, I think. And ever since then, I was a huge fan of British accent, British, let's say, version of English. I tried to stick to, because, you know, there are differences between American and British English in words. Like, they call the same thing with different words. And so I have always tried to stick to this British version of English, but nevertheless, I don't know how it happens. Still, I myself feel like, it's more American. So I don't know where it came from, really.
And you've worked as an English teacher in China, and you now work as a Thailand sorcerer. But as you said, you're a jack of all trades. So what are all of the jobs that you can remember you worked in?
Well, like I said, a lawyer, a translator, an English teacher, also a volunteer, if it can be counted as a job. Well, it wasn't a job, but again, it was about English teaching mostly. And so now recruitment.
And you also, right now in recruitment, you finished one important task, which was leading the recruitment for the for our QA school. Is it true?
Yeah. Right now, this process is still ongoing. So we decided to give opportunity for those who want to change their career path, who want to maybe try something new, and most of all, it's for those who kind of have burned out at what they are currently doing, which lately happens pretty often. I myself, I can say that while I was teaching English, at some point I could feel like I was burning out. First of all, this opportunity is for this kind of people. And so our candidates had an opportunity to apply without any background in IT. And we had quite a lot of applications. In total, it was around 50. Of course, the sad thing is that out of these 50, we only have to select 5. Wow. And I already had to reject a few candidates, which was really upsetting. Mm-hmm. So this traineeship is going to look like this, three months of training. In the beginning, it's going to be some courses on Udemy, and then almost straight away, the trainees will work on a real project. So that's probably the most outstanding feature about this traineeship, is that trainees start to work specifically on projects. So, straight at the job. So I consider it to be really effective. And then after these 3 months, of course, depending on the results, the trainees can be hired and work with us for the next year. And also there is the ISTQB certification at the end of the course, which is covered by us. So as for me, a really fantastic opportunity to change my career.
Mm-hmm. Must be fascinating for them. Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, sure. It was a really interesting experience for me as a recruiter, because I looked for candidates with, at least 3 years of experience, mostly 5 and 10, and I got used to them speaking to me like in a bit, such a confident way, like, okay, I will have an interview with you, okay. But these candidates for this traineeship, they seemed so excited, and they, mm-hmm. When I called them, I could hear they were so happy. And one candidate even said that she had a birthday, and it was the best present for her birthday. So a completely different reaction, to me as a recruiter, and it's really exciting experience.
Hmm. Yeah, must have been so. You're quite literally. I mean, it was for them supposed to be a transformative experience.
So. Yeah, sure. There are really interesting candidates. For instance, the one who spent 12, he's from Poland, but he spent 12 years in Hong Kong. And in his CV, I could see he had actually pretty successful career. He used to work on TV. There is some, he said, the most famous TV channel in Poland. Unfortunately, I haven't learned yet, like TVP, if I'm not mistaken. So he used to work on TV, in media, PR, and from what he told me, everything looked so successful. And so I was like, why? why starting from scratch? He said just because he wanted to try something new, like never, just stop developing.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's a great approach. Quite frankly, I would say that this is a great way to look at life. And I wonder, was your volunteering experience transformative as well?
Oh yeah, it was, and that was actually the moment when I kind of felt. Hit the glass ceiling, if I can say so. I had been working as an English teacher, and everything seemed kind of the same. The only thing that changed was my students. Of course, I was excited about helping people, and I was happy to find some method that I saw it really helped. A lot of my students got rid of this, fear of speaking English. So I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I felt like I was stuck, and I felt there was still something out there, you know, for me to discover. And so I started applying for volunteering projects. I had no clear idea where I wanted to go. I just heard about this volunteering. I heard really good feedback, so I decided to apply. And actually, it turned out to be not as easy as it may seem, because you have to write a motivation letter for every project, and you have to change it, so it's not like a template, you know. Mm-hmm. And it took me half a year. I had only rejections. So I kind of gave up, and it was, it must be an interesting story if I got here. So I gave up and I started to look for some other opportunities. I was thinking of starting an IT course. Mm-hmm. Two things to mention. So I expected the reply on email. Mm-hmm. Normally they would reply on email, and I didn't use Facebook. We just, in Ukraine, we use another messenger, so I didn't use Facebook that much. And so after I gave up, I think 1 month had passed, something made me open my Facebook. Just, it was a complete accident, like I wasn't intending. And then suddenly I saw this tiny font, you know, like you have a message from a contact that is not in your contact list. Mm-hmm. I open it, and it turns out to be from Gdynia, from this volunteering project that I applied here in Poland. Oh gosh, I was happy and scared at the same time, because I saw that this message was sent a month before. Mm-hmm. So I thought probably they had already found someone. Still, I replied, and the lady said, oh, no, we're still looking for volunteers. And I was, oh, God bless you. So I was super happy that the opportunity was still on. So we had an interview, and here I am in Poland. And again, this was probably the best experience in my life. So formally, I was supposed to be part of a youth center and to just basically participate in life of the youth center, and basically do whatever I want, you know, just make my initiatives, like discover some of my skills. So that's the point, actually, of volunteering. To they give you some space, and you just do whatever you want with the space in order to, you know, develop, you know, find some leadership skills in you. And so in my case, I wasn't lucky, because it was still pandemic. And so not many people were allowed to come to our youth center. So I just ended up again, teaching English. So this is formal part, but as for informal, it was huge. Like in Gdynia, in total, there are 20 volunteers, and they come from Europe. Also, we have a few volunteers from Azerbaijan, Turkey, Belarus, and we had one volunteer from Russia. So really diverse community, and that's the beauty of it. Like you get to know so many cultures at the same place, you know, you without going anywhere, you get to know, culture from various countries. And I made so many friends. I think I hadn't met that many people in my life as I did during this volunteering. It was super exciting. We used to have parties almost every day, you know, like back to studies, you know. And also traveling. I kind of ran out of my traveling urge in China, so I didn't travel that much during volunteering, but still I enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Listening to other volunteers traveling around Europe, you know. And I'm super happy that I got this opportunity. So
how long were you a volunteer?
For 1 year. So I came last March, and so I finished last March.
Okay. And it's also quite a coincidence that it was in Gdynia, because another person living in Gdynia is Paula, who is, well, hidden on this call, but she's here. But then you work in the same city as Paula, which is who is your teammate and your friend as well. So that's, I mean, there is a lot, it looks as if there is quite a lot of coincidences in your life, starting from, going back to the, like, checking Facebook, because you were using Telegram, right? Or
Yes.
Yeah. And then you checked Facebook because whatever the alignment of the stars, then the alignment of the stars made it so it was in Gdynia. Are there any more coincidences that's, that you can recall that's made an impact on your life, or that's it?
Probably from the latest one. I'm not sure if it can be called a coincidence, but probably the latest luck. It's more like luck probably than coincidence. The way I got to IT Imagination. So it was a really tough moment for me because it was exactly the moment when the war started, and I was in the situation where I had two options, either stay in Poland, but I hadn't found a job yet. Of course, to stay in Poland, I had to have a job, but I hadn't found it. I had been looking for 2 months, I guess, but I didn't find. It was one choice, but the other choice was to go back to Ukraine, also because my visa was finishing, so I couldn't stay longer. But the war started, so I, of course, it wasn't a good idea to go back. And I was so, of course, stressed out. I was trying to help the refugees and my family who stayed in Ukraine, that I kind of gave up on looking for a job. I literally had no efforts, no time. And during this volunteering, I met one lady, her name is Magda, and she works for an organization which manages our volunteering. So they manage our projects, they arrange our stay in Poland. And so I wasn't kind of planning. I just mentioned that, yeah, I'm looking for a job. Just in case you heard something, let me know. So I didn't actually count on her help, you know. I knew that it was, first of all, my responsibility, but still, she was so helpful. So her brother, Stanislav Hrčkovich, who was working with us, he recommended me to IT Imagination, and literally, it actually saved my life because I finally got a job in Poland, and I could stay for longer, and I could continue helping my family in Ukraine. So that was a huge luck. Up until now, I'm super grateful to Magda and Stanislav. I will never forget it. Really, it means a lot to me. Yeah, and then probably one more coincidence is that while I was looking for a job in Poland, I was actually looking for programming. Because last September, I started learning some front-end technologies. And so that's what I was looking for in my first job. But unfortunately, of course, you need to have some experience. It was hard to find something. But then I got to ITM, and suddenly I became responsible for this QA traineeship. And so actually that's exactly what I was looking for, you know, like some traineeship, something to start with in IT, something that I was looking for in January before the war. And so, yeah, I happened to be responsible for this recruitment, and I also applied myself, so I'm waiting for the results, and we'll see. So again, probably coincidence again.
Yeah. I mean, we as a company love to help Ukrainians in Ukraine. We already did. We donated to Polish Humanitarian mm-hmm. Action, right? And fast track Ukrainian candidates. We interview coach candidates. We refer them to relevant jobs if we can, or job boards. I know for a fact that Sylvia was or is perhaps is giving out candy to children. We mm-hmm. joined Tech for Ukraine. So yeah, it was something that even I didn't have to think of, like nobody even thought of, to do it or not to do it. It was just an instant, yes, let's do it. And we also, yeah, it's natural, right? Your neighbor is in trouble. People are fleeing. We don't think. We just go ahead and try to do what we can, because it's been 202 days since the beginning of the invasion, right? Mm-hmm. Russian invasion, and then people lost their homes, people lost everything that they own, people lost their loved ones, people lost the sense of safety. And not helping people like that is just unthinkable. And so personally and professionally, it's a no-brainer. It's absolutely a no-brainer to do whatever you can to help. So obviously, yes, we are very happy to have you. And you are also not the only one, from what I know, right? I think we, right?
Yeah.
Was it Masha?
Masha. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, welcome to Poland. I mean, you've already been here, so you just, you know. I mean, you are by the Polish Sea. In my opinion, the most beautiful part of Poland. Sorry, south, but I'm not gonna lie. I like the sea the most. I don't like the mountains. I'm sorry. Sorry, not sorry. But yeah, I know that your boyfriend, or perhaps should I say husband, wasn't so lucky. He stayed. Right, he had to stay, and there is a story connected to that as well, because, yeah. Well, I will let you tell the story.
Yeah, so probably story is a quite a strong word. It's pretty short. So, in February it was. You're right, before the war. We agreed with him that he would come to Poland. So that's how it works with us. First, I go to some country and then he joins me. That was in China like this, mm-hmm. and now we're going the same. And so he had already finished everything he had to in Ukraine, and so he was ready to come to Poland. And we hadn't been married at the time, just because we had been together for 8 years, since 2014, and we just didn't kind of, I don't know, take it seriously. It didn't mean anything to us. If we got married, what would it change? You know, so that's the way of our thinking was. In February, yeah, we agreed that he would come, but then a week later the war started and he had to stay. And in March he joined the army. Of course, I must say it was probably the most horrible time of my life. I worried so much. But then in June, yeah, it happened in June, more or less it got settled. I mean, they got to their military base, they had all their trainings, military trainings, and more or less it was settled, some clear schedule of their work. And he managed to take 2 days off. Well, we hadn't seen each other for half a year, and seeing him just for 2 days was, of course, not enough, but at least something. And so I went. It used to be of course, it used to be easy to go to Ukraine. It used to be just one flight from Gdansk to Kyiv, and just a little bit more than an hour. But this time, I think everyone knows about it now because I've been complaining about this. So it took me 30 hours on the way there and 35 hours on the way back. It's super exhausting.
Wow.
But still, I did it. And so I arrived in that town where they were based. And so he met me at the train station and we started walking somewhere. I didn't know where and he wouldn't tell. And then suddenly I see this marriage office. And so that's it. So it was kind of a surprise. And also we hadn't got married because we considered it to be a really long and boring process because first you have to apply, you know, you have to wait for a month and then like, to us, it was too long process. But now, for those who serve in the army, the procedure is really short. Like, it can take 2 hours at most. And so we filed the application. The lady told us to go for a walk for an hour. And then she called back. And yeah, so we got the certificate. And that's the love story.
I try to keep it a secret, but I've got Hollywood representatives calling me and trying to get to you. So I don't know, maybe you can
come back.
Yeah, okay. There will be a movie. Yes. wait, but you're from Kharkiv.
Well, it's a bit complicated. So I studied in Kharkiv, but originally I come from Crimea, this region, which is currently occupied, has been occupied by Russia since 2014. But in 2014, I moved to my husband's hometown, which is in main Ukraine, if I can say so, in the center of Ukraine. So I've been living there for up to 2014. And of course, with some interruptions for China in Poland.
I see. Well, I've heard that Kharkiv is a very beautiful city.
It is really, yeah, it's super modern. Like, I mean, I can say that they managed to kind of combine this, you know, these two things to save the legacy from previous centuries and at the same time build something new, which would really fit in the whole design. So the city designers, if that's what they're called, are really cool. You can spend really hours going along the streets and really enjoying it. But unfortunately, most of the town has been destroyed, and it's a huge loss for us.
So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And in the recent days, the Ukrainian army has made some huge advancements. So fingers crossed. Let's hope that Ukraine will become stronger in the coming time. And I'm personally hoping so, and I will be very happy to help. And I've never been to Ukraine. I've planned my travels, actually. I'm a little bit of a nerd and a little bit of a geek, and I always wanted to visit Pripyat because it's a city that was stopped by, time stopped there 30 years ago, and I wanted to see how nature reclaims the city. But unfortunately, let's say that it's not possible. So I am very keen on visiting Ukraine.
Hopefully soon it will happen.
Yeah.
Because the news are just awesome. Every time we read the news lately, I really get goosebumps. I'm super proud of our army and fingers crossed.
Yeah. So keeping my fingers crossed again. And my parents hosted Ukrainians, and I know so many people that hosted Ukrainians at their homes.
If I can, I want to use the opportunity to thank Poland, because really, Russians used to say that they are our brothers and stuff like that, but now we can see who our real brothers are. I remember at the beginning of the war, the youth center where I was volunteering, it was redesigned for hosting refugees. And I, with my own eyes, I could see how the personnel, the people from the neighborhood, they worried so much. They brought everything they had. Like, I could see that the things they brought were even new, like not even something that they used, but they, like, that they bought things specifically for refugees. And it was, the center was fully equipped, and I could see how much Polish people worried about Ukrainians and refugees. And really, I'm super grateful to all Poland.
Right. So do you have anything that you want to say to all of those watching us? Some last words before I start crying, because I got goosebumps. Yeah, no, I got goosebumps and I'm about to cry. So just, the floor is yours.
Well, probably the only thing I can talk about now is, you know, is this war. And I really hope that it will end soon. And generally, I wish everyone not to experience anything like that, because to say it's horrible, it's to say nothing. Like, horrible is not the word. It's I can't even clearly remember the first month of this war, because I was so worried that it's so blurry, you know. I feel like it wasn't me, actually. So I really wish that no one ever experiences something like that. Really, I wish this war will really prove the world that wars make love, not war. There is no point in fighting, and there can only be negotiation, and that's it. And, well, I'm thinking of actually why we actually have weapons in this war, in this world. Why cannot we just get rid of all those missiles and stuff? Of course, I understand it's impossible, but hopefully someday we will get to this point of getting rid of all those machinery and finally live in peace and love.
Yes, those are very good words to end with. Thank you, Hania. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you. I, for myself, wanted to say just one thing. Glory to Ukraine. Yes, let's all make love, not war. Right. Bye, guys. And see you in another episode.